So I said to Mike, are there any people in the valley who, like, can't get work because they're just not a keyword? And Mike went, yeah, like every adult porn actress now between the ages of 23 and 29 can't get work because they're not a teen and they're not a MILF. They're like in this sort of fallow period between teen and MILF when they're just attractive, and just attractive isn't a searchable term. So if you're not a teen and you're not a MILF, if you're like a 26-year-old adult film actress, you can't get work. You just have to, like, well, I said to Mike, what do? Do you just, like, sit there until you, like, become a MILF and become employable again? And the answer is they have to find other ways to make money. So escorting is going through the roof in the valley. You know, because of the tech, because of people like Fabian, because of the tech takeover of porn, escorting's going through the roof. But also another thing that's going through the roof is this kind of weirdly adorable world of bespoke porn.
Yeah, and that's what the article was. What was the publication? Who published that article?
It was The Guardian. I did like a written version of one of the episodes of the show.
I just stumbled upon it, you know, knowing that you were going to be here. I didn't even know you wrote it. I was reading it, and as I was reading it, I was like, oh, John wrote this.
Right. Isn't it? What an amazing... Did you know about this world?
No.
And you're right in... Pornland here, right in the valley. So yeah, it's a pretty hidden world.
Fascinating. Explain what it is. Like, people literally will request some of the most bizarre things.
Yeah.
And these people will make custom films based on their weird kinks.
Just for them, like a team of professional porn people, because the valley's suffering so much because of Pornhub and so on.
Wow.
We'll make an entire porn film just for you.
Now, how much does something like this cost? Like, say if you want to make a film about girls wearing Mutant Ninja Turtle outfits who kick guys in the balls. Like, that's entirely possible, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, anything's possible.
But that sounds like something that might actually sell.
They're like a couple of $1,000s.
That's it?
Yeah.
Couple grand?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got so obsessed with the world of bespoke porn because it was such a... fascinating window into people's inner lives.
Yeah.
Like, one of the first ones I saw was a condiments video.
Like ketchup and relish and stuff like that?
So it's a woman sitting in a child's paddling pool, and out of shot, one of the bespoke porn producers is pouring industrial-sized tubs of condiments on her head, like ketchup, mustard. And the woman's like trying to, you know, she's like game, so she's going, oh, it's so cold and slimy and stuff like that. Anyway, the guy who commissioned this video, the producers knew one thing about him. He's a restaurateur who deals with condiments every day.
Oh, how weird.
Yeah, and has to, you know, presumably avoid situations like that happening in his restaurant.
So he just sits around thinking... Like, as, like, customers are sitting down, oh, I'm going to squirt her with some mayonnaise, just lather her up with ketchup.
Or maybe it's stress. Yeah. Maybe it's like, oh, my God, if this tub of mayonnaise falls on the floor.
Or falls on
this woman, like, we're all fucked.
We get sued.
Yeah, we're doomed. And, like, there'd be, like the cleaning bill. And maybe it's like, and maybe his release is to do this.
Wow.
Another one was a Norwegian man. Has spent 40 years amassing a very valuable stamp collection. And his bespoke porn film was to send his stamp collection to the valley, where three naked porn women would destroy his stamp collection.
Whoa.
Yes. There you go. There's a steal from it.
How much is his stamp collection worth?
Well, it turns out, because we managed to track down Stamps Man and he talked to us after a lot of persuasion. And he's got 10 books of stamps. And once a year, he sends one to a custom producer. And so he does it once a year.
So that's his thing.
Yeah, it turns out it's because he grew up in Iceland, where stamp collecting was a very popular hobby at the time in like the 70s and the 80s. Stamp collecting was big. So he became like an obsessive stamp collector. The stamp shop owners would say, oh, if you buy this stamp, it's going to be very valuable in 20 years. But then came the internet, and it like killed off the stamp it killed off stamp collecting as a hobby. Like,
really?
You know, yeah, nerds apparently found like other things to be interested in, and you know, the thrill of the chase just wasn't there anymore. Like, you could easily buy, yeah. So anyway, so his stamps lost all of their value. The stamp stores closed down. That kind of collegiate atmosphere of fellow stamp collectors just vanished. He began to, like, you know, regret his life choices of, like, spending all of that time and money collecting stamps. He began to feel depressed and isolated. So he went to see a psychiatrist who told him that stamp collecting is a ridiculous hobby because it isolates him. So now he pays porn people to destroy his stamps.
The psychiatrist told him that a hobby is ridiculous.
Yeah, according to him. I mean, I never talked to the psychiatrist, but according to him, yeah, he said that stamp collecting is a ridiculous hobby.
That seems like a ridiculous thing for a psychologist to say.
It sounds like a bad psychologist.
Yeah, if someone enjoys it.
Yeah.
Like, if you have all your ducks in a row and everything's firing on all cylinders, but you really, truly enjoy stamps, who's to tell you there's something wrong with that?
Well, one good thing that came out of it was he really enriched the imaginations of the people in the valley, and also my imagination too. I mean, stamps, man, because all the custom producers talk, you know, and stamps man was such a mystery to them all. So, you know, so at least he destroys his stamps now in a way that's beneficial to him.
God,
and also intriguing,
so weird.
To the valley. Yeah, isn't it amazing?
But it's all weird, right?
Well, it's also quite sad. We Dan and Rhiannon, who made one of the stamps videos, called us just as we were finishing our series, and Rhiannon was in tears, and they just had a request, and the request was for a guy wanted a porn woman to sit cross-legged on the floor, fully clothed, and say into the camera, "You are loved. Things may be bad now, but they won't always be, and suicide is not the answer." Yeah. So then they thought, fuck, what do we do?
Ooh.
So they told him they'd make the video for him and they could shoot it really soon. And he didn't respond. So they made it anyway. And we were there to record it. And it was it made me realize just how kind of delightful the bespoke porn world is, because they were so eager to
help him.
Yeah,
yeah,
to help this guy.
Did he kill himself?
We don't know. They made the video for him. The woman, the porn star Riley, was saying into the camera, you know, "I have thought about dying too, but I came out of that hole, you know, and I came back stronger, and now I can see all the good in the world." And Riley was crying, and Rhiannon, the producer, was crying, and they sent the video to the guy. We don't know. And so I had these, like, two names, Stubblebown and Channon, and the whole Menester goat stuff, which wasn't out in the open, all came out. It was amazing that they were trying to kill goats just by staring at them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so they had, like, I met this guy who was, like, part of the goat staring program. And they had, like, this is all at Fort Bragg. I had a trip around Fort Bragg one time, and I said to them, like, "So where's Goat Lab?" And they went, "You're not supposed to know about Goat Lab." Yeah. So they had, like, at one point they had like 30 goats in a room, and they were all staring at goat number 16. They all had numbers on their backs, and goat number 17 fell over, which I suppose is collateral damage. I mean, I would argue that if you stare at a goat long enough, it's going to fall over. I mean, everything's going to fall over eventually.
Sorry, I was drinking water when I was laughing.
Okay, sorry.
So the goat really did fall over and die?
Well, no. Oh, well, Guy Savelli, so we tracked down the goat starer. This is he now runs a dance studio in Ohio, the Savelli Dance and Martial Arts Studio.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so we tracked him down. I said to him on the phone, "So do you still ever, like, kill goats just by staring at them?" And he went, "Well, as a matter of fact, just last week, I killed my hamster just by staring at it."
Hamsters live to be like 3 days old.
He said he caught it on video, and I said, "Well, can we come and watch the video?" So we went. He said, "Okay." So we flew to Ohio to meet Guy Savelli. The whole time, his son was filming me. Like, the whole time I was there, he was filming me. So eventually, like, he admitted, like, why they were filming me. And it was that he was worried that I might be Al-Qaeda, like trying to learn
how to stare at people and kill them?
Yes. So he was like filming me just in case.
So he really believed it?
Totally.
So with this video, did it show him staring at a hamster and it dies?
I saw the video of the hamster staring. I should tell you, by the way, that the moment when they, I think I pinpointed the moment when they worked out that I wasn't Al-Qaeda. And it was because it turns out that Guy Savelli's daughter is in the movie Chicago, like as one of the dancers. And so I kind of shrieked. Oh, and I shrieked. I love Catherine Zeta-Jones. And I think like they all kind of relaxed. I think even like a kind of deep cover Al-Qaeda operative wouldn't think to go that effeminate. So then they showed me the hamster video. It's a hamster. I'm sure this is on YouTube, by the way. I'm sure you can find this. It's if you typed in, John Ronson, hamster, crazy rulers of the world, Guy Savelli or something. So the hamster's like running around in its wheel and that guy's off camera, like staring at the hamster. And then finally the hamster gets off the wheel and it's like all the sawdust. And then the hamster like drops, like stops moving, drops down and stops moving amid the sawdust. So I'm like, whoa. And then the hamster gets up again and the video ends. So I was like, that's not dead. Like, and a guy said,
you flew all the way to Ohio to see a video of a hamster.
Yeah. So a guy said, yeah, my wife told me like not to. My wife said, don't show them the part where the hamster dies. So
what?
Yeah, in case I was like a bleeding heart liberal and I was like, yeah.
His wife told him to not show you the video that you flew all the way the fuck to Ohio to see?
Well, I think it's possible that, the hamster just doesn't die.
No way, bro.
But it's true. But Guy showed me like a whole bunch.
Is that him?
Yeah, that's Guy Savelli.
Full screen, please.
You need to put a guy's value in mind. Hey, what happens when you've got a guest who's on for 3 hours and they want to use the bathroom?
Just go ahead and use the bathroom. Good.
Can you cover for me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll turn the volume here.
Okay.
Oh, he's doing some fake martial arts, too.
There's
this is hilarious. Oh, you don't understand. This is my favorite stuff, John Ronson. Look at this. This is my favorite stuff. It's all like pokes.
Triangle of death.
Oh, it's called the triangle of death.
Yeah. I didn't find the
Go back to that. I need to watch that again. This is hilarious.
Muscle right here, behind there's a carotid artery.
Ooh, the artery.
Here is the
esophagus.
Airway.
Yeah.
Now, the ABC approach of helping a person or hurting a person. They need a clear airway. They need to be able to breathe. And they need to have circulation of blood through their body.
Pause that for a second. What's one thing about bullshit artists is they always like use these real technical terms, like especially martial arts bullshit artists. They always talk about like medical terms that they're like disrupting the nerve, the vagus nerve that goes to the brain, and this is your C6, C7, your cervical disc, and I'm going to attack the cervical disc through the carotid artery. They're all like, it's almost like they learn all these technical terms to sort of make their horseshit look more palatable. Good.
In order to live. In the poison hand technique.
Poison hands.
Ooh. Although I'm not showing you how to strike to penetrate the skin, of which we have a way to do that.
What?
The motion that we use.
Please don't show anybody, sir. With your flabby
now
grandma
just watch
arms.
A second.
He's gonna watch. He's gonna show you. Oh boy.
How's he alive?
It's just the end part is my favorite, where he does like the fucking karate stance behind the guy's back.
Is that your tap?
And look at the end part, the little limp hand to the back. Oh, that guy's wonderful. I don't know why, man. I don't know why, but this stuff gives me so much pleasure. I enjoy fake martial arts videos more than almost anything. More, almost as much as Hold This Beer, the Twitter account that I fucking... every 2 days I have to retweet one because I found a good new one. I don't know why. Oh, he's got new stuff. Oh, what's he going to do?
Mind development.
Oh, mind development.
And striking techniques.
Let me see this. The guy's coming close. He's touching him. He's about to touch him.
What the fuck?
What the fuck was that? The guy's about to touch him.
Chun Kun Tao means that you can do whatever has to be done to protect, not hurt.
You're going to hear this.
Is that the demise? Is that the death touch?
No, he's got this. Hold on, play that back. Play that back. Development of the mind.
So you know the shit better than me, right?
Oh, certainly do.
This is your bread and butter.
This is, well...
Pak Chun Kun Tao.
This is something I've been doing more than I've been doing anything in my whole life.
This is the first real exercise towards that goal.
You gotta see this. It's so fucking stupid.
So he's the goat star from the Menace Goat.
Oh, he's just gonna punch a watermelon. Right. Oh, you're crazy, bro.
Solid watermelon.
Oh, it's solid? Oh, no way. That's impenetrable. That's basically a brick wall.
He's gonna use his fingers.
One, two. Oh, I broke his hand, son. You broke your hand, kid.
Yeah. He's the first guy who told me about the Dim Mac, the death touch.
He went right through that watermelon, bro.
I would let that guy do that to me. I'd be like, okay, fuck the watermelon, dude. Let me tighten up my stomach.
Oh, yeah, I've seen these. I've seen this stuff. This is guy doing military stuff, right? This is deep.
Well,
this is menace.
It's not really
stuff,
military,
right?
But he's wearing a military outfit.
Oh, really? I do know that guy, like, went to Fort Bragg and did the goat stuff. Like, he showed me documentation.
See this right here? Listen, man. Yeah. I used to do this.
Look at that. That's so stupid. That guy, he picked his leg up when he's doing it. Oh, this is hilarious. This guy's going to do it with his fingertips. Hi-ya! I'm hammering it through. Here's the thing. When I was a kid, like, real young, we used to do these demonstrations when I was, like, 15. When we would open up a new school, we'd do these demonstrations, and it was the only time we ever broke boards.
Right.
We fucking never broke boards.
Because it's really easy to do, and it looks harder than it is. A bit like walking on hot coals, right?
It's way easier than walking on hot coals.
Right.
Because those things, first of all, the way they're cut is with the, like, the grain is, it's going in a manner. What's the way we describe it? So, like, if you're holding something up, the grain is actually going in the way that you want it to break. So you're breaking it with the grain. You literally can do it with your fingers. Like, you could take, and those are thin pieces of wood, too. You could take this piece of, if this pad was a wood, you could just go like this with two fingers and just go, snap, and it would break.
Right.
Breaks like nothing. I was 15, and we would do these karate kicks and punches and stuff, and they always broke. Huh. They always broke.
So what
they're
is
so easy to break.
So here's a question, and what does it say about, like, special forces at Fort Bragg that they would bring guy in to
they
do these?
They brought that guy in?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like, I don't believe it was like a sanction from the very top, but he certainly went to Fort Bragg and stared at goats. He stared at goats at Fort Bragg.
Well, they probably just grabbed whatever dummies they could find. Like, get some dude who's willing to stare at a goat. Like, there's a lot of people, though. Here's one thing that is a fact. Mm. There's a lot of people, particularly in the 80s and the 90s, before the Ultimate Fighting Championship came around, there was a lot of fake martial arts out there. A lot. I know people that were teaching fake martial arts that got into the military, that got into the police. Right. I knew the guy who was deep in the police force, and he had fake martial arts. Like, his martial arts were fucking completely useless.
Hmm. And it tallies with the, like, U.S. military credo of, like, thinking out of the box. Like, if we don't try this stuff, nobody else will try this stuff.
What is going on here? They're blurring. Look at how easy it is to break that.
His special forces.
Oh, the special ops.
Okay. So, yeah, there you go. And they were killing goats.
Kun Tao. Well, I've never even heard of that one. Kun
Tao.
Yeah,
that's Guy Savelli's thing. But, you know, then General Stubblebine. General Stubblebine, who I'm sure would have been a fan of this show because he was a big fan of Alex's and so on. So he was, like, head of army intelligence. He had 16,000 soldiers under his command, and he, like, totally believed in all of this stuff.
He believed in that stuff?
Oh,
what that guy was doing?
General Stubblebine would, when he was head of army intelligence in Arlington, would try and walk through his wall. because he told me one time, he said, like... He said, what is the atom mostly made up of? Space. What is the wall mostly made up of? Atoms. I mean, to me, the key wordness is mostly. Mostly, right?
Mostly is a big part of that, bro.
So he would, like, stand up from behind his desk and, like, you know, basically run into his
wall. You should have asked him, what's an atom bomb made of, you fucking idiot?
He said...
Let me show you a video. Yeah,
he said he would he'd bruise his nose trying to walk through his wall. He said, fortunately, he was going through a messy divorce at the time, so like other people in his office just assumed it was
His wife beat him up?
Yeah, his wife beat him up, but in fact, he was trying to
She's probably, I gotta get away from this wall-walking asshole.
He was trying to merge the spaces between his atoms and the wall's atoms, but he just kept bumping his nose. This was fun. This is my couple of years.
When I did that sci-fi show, we did a whole segment on remote viewing, and we actually had a guy who claimed to be a successful remote viewer, and we set up this location and asked him, me and DJ Grothy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who's a skeptic.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. And you know, DJ was just as accurate just guessing as this guy was.
Yeah.
I think actually, now that I think about it, I think DJ was more accurate.
You know, the kind of dark secret of the remote viewing world. I mean, you can't sort of totally blame the remote viewers for this. But so the remote viewing unit at Fort Meade got declassified and shut down. So a lot of these remote viewers then set up their own training centres. Including Ed Dames in, I don't know, maybe in Vegas, somewhere not far from here.
Mm-hmm.
So Ed Dames had this student called...
Magneto.
Fuck, what was his name? There was a woman called Courtney, and then there was this other student. I've forgotten her names. Anyway, but they would then... So Ed Dames taught them remote viewing, these two people, who would then go on the Art Bell show, and they became regular guests on the Art Bell show. And they're the ones, these two of Ed Dames' students, they're the ones who basically announced on the Art Bell show that the Hale-Bopp comet had a companion object in its tail. They'd remote viewed the Hale-Bopp comet that was about to pass over the Earth had a companion object in its tail. And listening to the Art Bell show was the Heaven's Gate group.
So they decided that was the spaceship they were waiting for.
Yes. So they all killed themselves to get on the spaceship.
Wow.
Prudence Calabrese and another guy whose name I forgot.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So that's a sort of weird butterfly effect.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That whole thing was such a... It's amazing what people want to believe. Now, this when it goes back to conspiracy theorists or whether it's the remote viewers or even someone who would watch that guy's karate videos and think that he's really doing death touches. Right. He's talking about how he has a method of going through the skin to attack the organs. Like,
Oh, yeah, he told me all of that stuff. He showed me a photograph of... he accidentally Bigfoot? Showed me a photograph of him karate chopping a goat.
He
said, "Oh, you weren't supposed to see that one." Yeah, he did the death touch on a goat.
Well, you could fuck a goat up if you hit it in the right spot.
Yeah, a lot of indignities were meted out to goats in the U.S. military.
Goats are actually pretty tough, though. Now that I think about it, yeah. I bet you probably couldn't kill a goat with a karate chop.
Right.
I mean, you have to really hit it hard in the right spot, like in the neck.
Is it true that in the movie adaptation of my book, The Menesteric Goats, there's a kind of bit of comedy where somebody thinks that they fell victim to the death touch, but it happened like years later, like 25 years ago, he was given the death touch and now he's dying from it 25 years later.
Was that in the movie?
Yeah, that was in the movie. Is it true in like the death touch world, in the dim black world, is it true that some people think like you can touch them now? And that was the moment.
Great.
That's the moment.
That movie was great.
Yeah. So that's the moment.
So you're
well
saying...
Well found. Is it true in the death touch world that people think you can do the dim mac on someone and they die years later of seemingly natural causes?
I'm sure that someone believes that, for sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, if you see that guy that was just having... Did you see that guy who did all the crazy stuff and the guy falls down? You might have missed it.
That's the movie based... Oh, you mean in the loo?
Yeah, the other guy.
Right.
He does all
Thank you for using an English word, by the way.
For you. He does all these crazy, like, fake karate moves. Slap. Right. And they slaps him in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people that believe all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, you know, he definitely inspired the characters in the Menesteric Goats movie.
Have you ever seen what happens when one of these fake death touch guys fights a real fighter?
No, do they kind of get the shit kicked
out
of
them? Oh, it's horrific. There's a few of them.
Right.
And these guys just don't seem to learn. One of them that was recently in China was so poorly received that the guy who was the MMA fighter had to go into hiding because he beat the living fuck out of this guy in like 10 seconds.
Right.
Like the guy came out and did all this crazy stuff and the guy just smashes him in the face, MMA style, and his kung fu was no good this day. Watch this. So you get the young guy in the orange shoes who's like a legit fighter, and then the other guy who is this silly death touch guy dressed up like he's in a different century. And like, watch how this goes down, because it's horrible. Because this guy on the left with the orange sneakers on is a real trained fighter. And this other guy has a real belief in this system that he's been practicing under, and he has no idea that it's horseshit. And the way he finds out that it's horseshit is on YouTube. I mean, he literally finds out in this moment that what he's... I mean, he probably believed it.
Okay.
He probably believed that what he does is actually real and effective. So check this out. It's horrible. And they get together, blah, blah, blah. They go over what you're supposed to do or whatever. And they... I don't know if they make them shake hands. Yep, they shake hands. And then they go back. And then they get the party started. And it takes 10 seconds. Here we go. Ready, set, go. There it goes. So this guy's like literally doing like some movie stuff. And then, boom, the MMA guy just starts teeing off.
Ooh.
Boom, 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 boom. And that's a wrap. It's horrible.
Oh.
I mean, it literally lasts... Once he engages them in the last 10 seconds. But that's because one of them is doing an actual martial art and the other guy is practicing nonsense. And he's probably practiced that nonsense his whole life. And he thought it was real. There's another one where there's an old man. And that's even harder to watch because this old man gets kicked in the face. And you just go, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, save this guy. This is horrible. And he looks like legitimately, like, let's watch what he does. Back it up to the beginning. So he bet $5,000. Check this out. Like, what he thinks he can do. He claimed a 200-0 record. Look, he's not even touching these people. They just go flying. It's like they're a part of a cult, you know? So they move at him, and he really firmly believes that he can do this. Look, he's, like, manipulating them like he's a puppet master. It's so crazy. So this guy is so... He's so, like, hypnotized by his own bullshit... That he decides
so this is
that
like
he's going to fight.
Right?
Well, he's... I don't know. See, here's the thing. Because he actually makes a real fight with a real trained martial artist. So he might... He may very well have been in on it himself. I mean, not in on it, being... What I mean is he might have been taken by his own bullshit. He might have actually believed it.
So now he's going to fight an actual...
A young, actual martial artist. And so he's got this crazy idea that he's just going to, like, give that guy the hex, and the guy's going to go flying through the air like the other guy was teaching. But this kid just sort of circles him for a few seconds, and then just like that other video, beats the holy fuck out of him inside of about 10 seconds. Just zoom off until they engage. Yeah, it's like, here it goes. See, he's, like, doing all this craziness. And the young martial artist just grabs him, punches him, kicks him, and he's like, you see, like, he's holding his face. He's like, what the fuck? And the young guy is really nice. Look, he's like, you okay? You want to keep going? And he's holding his mouth. Look, the young guy, like, literally says, look, does he want to keep going? Let's stop. Let's stop. This guy's bleeding out of his nose.
Ooh.
And so he says, keep going. He says, I'm fine. And so he gets his hands up. Like, this time it's going to work. This time I'm going to hit him with the full voodoo. And this kid just blam, 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 and then this kick. Boom! That's where it gets horrific. And that guy's probably like 60.
Mm.
It's not a good time to get kicked in the face.